Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by our friends at HostPapa. HostPapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers just like you. HostPapa is everything that you want in a server company. Fast, efficient, and above all, super, super easy to use. Go to hostpapa.com/hack today and use our exclusive promo code HACK to save 15% off their popular shared hosting packages. That's hostpapa.com/hack. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, John Naster. But you can call me Johnny. Today's episode is a little bit different. This is the second episode of Going Deep. In this episode, we're going to talk to a brilliant, brilliant man who's been on the show before, but in the traditional sense. But now we're going to use his skill and vast knowledge of direct marketing to hopefully engage in a deeper conversation. He spent over 3 decades as a serial direct marketer and sent over 1 billion direct messages. He started out at Boardroom Inc. and later became a partner of and took it to tens of millions of dollars in annual revenue. Direct marketing is what we engage in every single day as entrepreneurs online, and this will absolutely help your business. Now, let's hack Brian Kurtz and go deep into direct marketing. One of the most expensive mistakes I made when I was starting my business online was taking for granted fast, secure, solid web hosting. Hosting is easy to take for granted until something goes wrong. And then you can be at the mercy of terrible customer support, unless you use HostPapa. HostPapa's complete turnkey solutions make it easy for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers to get a website up and running. And HostPapa is the best web host for small businesses with affordable pricing and an award-winning support team. A support team that's available via chat, phone, or email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Plus, if you need extra help, they'll even give you a free, dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session with one of their experts. No other web host does that. Plus, they'll even throw in a free domain name to get you started right now. If you're a small business owner, digital entrepreneur, or freelancer, visit hostpapa.com/hack to check out what our friends at HostPapa have to offer. And because, like you, they are friends of Hack the Entrepreneur, they are offering our listeners an exclusive 15% off new shared hosting accounts. Just enter our exclusive promo code HACK at the checkout for a 15% discount. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we're gonna go deep with a very, very, very special guest. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, John. It's like I always feel like I'm overstaying my welcome when I go into multiple times into people's podcasts. But when they say yes, it's like, whoa, I better deliver something good this time.
And I think you're going to. And I don't think we would ask you back otherwise if we didn't know.
Thank you. And just, you know, I'm a big fan, and you know that I love your book, and I actually, I have 2 mastermind groups, and at one of them this past year, I gave everybody a copy of it, and you were kind enough to get me copies of it, and folks loved it. So I just love what you're up to. And even though, you know, we don't intersect on all areas because you're not necessarily a direct marketer, we intersect in a lot of areas. We always are name dropping people that we both know and respect, that we both follow, that you want to interview, and I want to just, you know, tap into their brains as well. So I think we have a lot more in common, and I just love talking to your audience, because I think, you know, every entrepreneur, if they're not paying attention to marketing, they're not going to be a successful entrepreneur for long. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate the kind words about the book. And to me, like marketing feels like sales to me. Like if you are an entrepreneur who doesn't want to learn how to do sales, you're not going to make it, right? And you're not going to make it without customers.
You know what's funny about you said that? It's really interesting you said that, because I just looked up on the, just doing a search on the Google, and I went on the Google and I said, you know, what's on there when you talk about selling versus marketing? And it's very interesting, because if you're talking to entrepreneurs, and especially, I think I mentioned to you, I'm going to Hungary today to speak to a group of 350 Hungarian entrepreneurs, which sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not, because there's a real growing entrepreneurial community in that country, despite the fact that they were communists for so long. And so I'm getting up in front of them, and you know, they don't know much about marketing. And one of the things I want to teach them is what I call marketing is not evil. And the reason why you have to do that is because if they have in their mind that selling is evil, that, you know, going after somebody to grab their money, you know, there's a whole mindset shift that needs to take place if you've got a mission or a vision and that you want to share with the world, and yet you're afraid to sell, you're afraid to, you know, actually ask people to part with their money. And so why marketing, the differentiator of why marketing, I say why marketing is not evil, and then I define selling versus marketing, I think is very important, because I think people kind of lop those things together. They're both very important. But, you know, marketing to me starts getting into the areas of creating relationships, getting someone who wants to buy from you because of what you provide, as opposed to the actual act of, you know, trying to get them to put their credit card, you know, onto an order page. So they are different. And even though they're connected, obviously, but I think it's a really important distinction. I'm glad you brought it up. And so, you know, anybody who's listening to this that thinks marketing is evil or selling is evil, I think you should keep listening.
Yeah, good clarification. And to me, so I'm like a product guy. So I love to make software and, I mean, create products. So to me, the way I've like pushed myself to know, understand totally within myself that marketing is not evil, Brian, is it forces me to create really, really cool, good products, because then it's absolutely my job or the marketing or sales team's job to push the hell out of those products.
That's so well put. People need so them. Well put. That's brilliant, John. And in fact, I just had Jay Abraham, who was one of the great marketing minds of all time. I just had him as a guest at my mastermind group. And Jay, I mean, literally kicks my ass all the time about, you've got knowledge. If you don't share it, then, you know, you're kind of not fulfilling on your moral responsibility to share what you know with the world so they can do what they need to do. And you just said the same thing. You know, if you've got incredible knowledge in the areas of software or whatever you do, that if you're not going to get it out there in the most powerful way and aggressively, you know, all I would do is say, shame on you, shame on us. You know,
yeah, exactly. It's sort of, or step
I,
up
I love this
game.
Idea of marketing as an obligation.
Better. The what?
I said that marketing is an obligation, but I stepped on you. I apologize.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was going to say that if you feel that it's still evil, then it's because you're creating something that you don't think is valuable, and it's just kind of a money grab. And
yeah,
so well put. You shouldn't focus on your marketing yet. You should actually go back and try and make something that you feel better about.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about concepts when I go to Hungary. I'm going to talk about concepts like, you know, content marketing and congruent marketing. And these, you know, these are very, very important concepts in the world we live in today, where it's very inexpensive to send content to people. Therefore, it's very inexpensive to sell the curse? Or
oh, curse all you want.
Yeah, so sell the shit out of them. You know, it's too easy, right? I mean, the barrier to entry in email is nothing like what I went through in direct mail. I know I sound like grandpa again, but you know, paying postage made me a better marketer, because, you know, I had to think a lot more about, you know, my marketing messages before I paid for printing and postage. Now with email, you can throw anything out there really, really quickly. But to me, you know, as you said, it's, if you believe in your product, like why would you want to have, you know, crappy marketing, even if your product is great, you know, it's not going to represent it. So then it should be congruent. It should be congruent with your mission, with how you want to market. I mean, I'm going to tell these guys in Hungary, which I told the same kind of audience in France. I said, look, you know, there's no one way to market your product. There's no one way to say, okay, if I don't do it this way, I'll never sell enough. No, it's got to be congruent with who you are in the world, how you want to sell, how aggressive you want to be. So there's no like, okay, you better do it this way so you sell the most. No, you know, we're not trying to extract the most amount of cash in the shortest amount of time from prospective customers. The idea is, as you said, believe in your product, sell congruently, use a lot of content. So give away a lot of great stuff for free. Give away your best stuff for free. That's what the internet allows us to do. And then they're going to say, where do I sign? You know, where do I buy from you? And that's the beautiful thing. When marketing is about, you know, that the customer is like salivating to buy from you, like, where do I send the check kind of thing, because of what value you delivered in advance of that, that's where it just gets great. I mean, I have this quote that says, you know, everything is not a revenue event, but everything is a relationship event. And to me, that's the kind of marketing I want people to practice. That doesn't mean I don't want them to make a lot of money. They should make a lot of money because then they can continue their mission in a bigger way. You know, they get to put the oxygen mask on themselves first before they put it on the world. And you got to make money to do that.
It's true. It's very true. And so we've piqued everyone's interest as entrepreneurs listening, solo entrepreneurs, solo founders of businesses from service to digital online, like software businesses, how we've convinced them that they need to learn copy and direct marketing.
Mm-hmm.
What are the like foundational works that we can build from at this point?
That's a great question. And actually, you know, it's one of the three big things I'm going to deal with in my speech to the Hungarians. And not to say that I'm going to do it in English for your guys.
Thank you.
And then when I'm on stage, I'll still do it in English because I have a Hungarian translator. I do not speak Hungarian. Mm. So anyway, I hope it doesn't sound like Hungarian when I explain some of these concepts. But I'm going to talk about what I call the building blocks of marketing. So, I mean, basically, I have a three-pronged presentation. The first is to talk about why marketing's not evil. And we started kind of pounding on that. Congruent marketing, content marketing, you know, why it's your moral responsibility to share your mission or vision with the world so you can reach millions instead of dozens. So that's one. Number two is the power of what I call the power of specialization, focusing on a niche. Don't try to be all things to all people. Even if you create software or whatever product that could appeal to everybody and everyone, focus on a niche first, master that niche, and bring it to that audience first, and then start branching out. Because then your copy approaches to that audience can be very specific, very tied into their needs and desires. And, you know, for instance, I always tell the story of the guy who was doing a presentation on a product he wanted to test with an audience of marketers. And he said, I want to do a product that's going to help men when they're going through their midlife crisis. And, you know, how much broader can we get, right? I mean, every man's going to go through a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. But I said to him, you know, what makes you qualified to do that? And he had some qualifications to do that based on his own journey through bankruptcy and, you know, almost suicide and, you know, having a terrible marriage and losing contact with his kids and then coming out the other end bigger and stronger. So, okay, you can do that. You know, you've got the chops to help some other men, but I'm still not bought into the fact that you can do it for everybody. Why don't you want to like focus in on one target market first? So, you know, I said to him, what were you doing for a living when you had your nervous breakdown, which he had a big breakdown? He said he was a lawyer. So I said, why don't you go after recovering attorneys first and make the product attorneys who are going through a midlife crisis? Now, just think about this from a marketing perspective. You could start targeting, you could start focusing all of your promotion, your sales letters, your emails, your positioning starts being for lawyers only. You know, you don't have to be a miserable lawyer. your whole life, you can actually be a happy lawyer, and I'll tell you how to do it. And so just that little tweak of narrowing down your audience is so critical to me, and that's the power of specialization. And then taking it a step further into what I call a building block. So that was the third thing. I do all these building blocks. So the big things I have for the Hungarians was marketing's not evil, the power of specialization. I just kind of gave you a sense of what I'm going to talk about there. You know, the idea of the narrow to the wide. Start with a narrow niche and you start branching out as opposed to being all things to all people. And then the third piece that I'm going to deal with them is what I call the building blocks of any successful marketing that you do. And the first one is what I call the 40-40-20 rule. And the four, and so it's a nice springboard to what I just talked about when I talked about the lawyer market versus every man in the world, because we're basically doing list segmentation. And to me, lists might be the list that you're going to in your marketing is probably the most important component. And so the 40-40-20 rule states that the success of any direct marketing campaign depends 40% on your list and the segmentation of that list, 40% on the offer that you make to that list, and 20% on the creative or the messaging that you send to that list. Now, that makes it sound like that the creative and the messaging is only half as important as the list or the offer. But actually, those three things need to work together. But without a great list, without the perfect audience, you could send the best creative in the world, you're going to get zero response. Whereas as a lot of internet marketers have discovered that if the list is perfect and they can come up with this incredible offer to them, they could probably send the crappiest sales letter or the crappiest email to them and still make some money. So that's sort of the rule of thumb that says creative is not less important, but you can get away on especially online because of the barrier to entry and the cost is so low. If your list is good and your offer is good, you are 80% there. And then if you put great creative and messaging that's specific to the audience and to the offer, that's where you can exponentially grow. And I did a blog post recently that I called When 41% is a Majority. And those of your listeners who are following the U.S. presidential election probably thought I was talking about that, that 41% might win the presidency in the United States. But what I was really talking about is that the 40-40-20 rule, for me, I turned it into 41-39-20 with list being 41. And again, I think it's just so critical what I said before about the power of specialization and then making sure that the list is the right audience and you're talking to the right people for what you're offering. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about this interview with your audience and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't talking to people who are all, you know, career direct marketers, but I had to be talking to entrepreneurs who want to know more about marketing. And so I have to tailor my comments based on that. So my content and my messaging is completely geared, hopefully, to your avatar that we're talking to today. That's list segmentation. You know, right. I told a funny story at my meeting this past week about a buddy of mine from high school who just got married for the third time. And unfortunately, his second wife passed away and his first wife, he divorced. But I never thought he'd get married again. The woman who found him on a dating service had such specific criteria that she wanted, and it was him. It was like, it was just him. It was like a universe of one. And I'm telling his third wife, you know, I said, you know what? You're a great direct marketer. You understand list segmentation better than anybody, than anybody on that dating service, I bet. And so it's just really, really important to narrow down that audience. So that's a really big building block, the whole 40-40-20, the 41-39-20, all that. Another big building block that every entrepreneur needs to know is the power of lifetime value. And most people who are in selling or marketing think that if I go out with a message that sells something and I pay something for the media, whether it's an email list or direct mail list or a TV commercial, whatever, I have to get my money back right away. And that is a completely flawed way to look at marketing. And so what lifetime value tells us is that what you want to do is make that first sale, but don't think that that first sale has to cover all your costs. But if you sell the right way, what you talked about in your intro about, you know, making sure that you're in love with your product, making sure that you're selling your product congruently, that the idea is that you're going to bring in people to buy this first product that are so in love with you and so in love with that product. And you have to make sure you've got other things to sell them on the back end. And so even if that first product is low priced and doesn't cover your costs, the idea is you're going to track that customer through their lifetime, or at least through their second and third sale with you. So you have to make sure you have multiple things to sell them. And then you start looking at the value of that customer over a year or two. And if that's not paying for the original media cost, then of course you're doing something wrong. But you need to have those type of calculations. And if you're not a marketer and you're not a statistician, which I was not, I was a terrible math student. I was an English major in college. So I'm always had people around me who understood the numbers, who understood, you know, the first sale, the second sale, how you looked at lifetime value of a customer, or even the 1 year total take of that customer with your products, total sales. That's such an important calculation in marketing and a building block. I mean, again, I'm a building block.
Yeah.
And to bring it around first full circle to this idea of, we said selling versus marketing, I want to differentiate advertising versus direct marketing. And advertising, and it's funny because my new book is called The Advertising Solution. I hate the title. And I'd like you to ask me a softball question of why I hate that title, which I can get into. But anyway, it's called The Advertising Solution. But the guys that we cover in this book were actually, you know, direct marketers disguised as advertisers. And the differentiator I want to make for your audience is that advertising is, you know, going out there, you know, with an ad that you don't even know how it does. I'll keep it very simple here. And direct marketing is that everything you do is measurable. Every time you put out an ad, send an email, do a TV commercial, do a radio ad, do a space ad in a magazine or print or newspaper, that you know how many orders you got, how much the media cost, how much everything cost in terms of the creative if you use the copywriter, and then how many sales you made, what's your measurement, and it's all a numbers game. And that ties into the lifetime value, but it's also a direct marketing rule of thumb. And to me, everything's got to be direct. In my new book, I wrote a preface, and I think my first words in the preface, I said, call it an allergy. You know, I just have an allergic reaction to advertising that's not measurable. And so any entrepreneur who doesn't want to get, you know, knee deep in the marketing, but is outsourcing that part of his or her business, better be a slave to measurability and that piece of marketing, which is direct marketing. Direct marketing means measurable, something that you can trace, something that you can track, and that's not general advertising.
So can we take it one step further? What's the difference between advertising and marketing? Why do we only call it marketing today?
You know, advertising is important. You know, as a direct marketer, you know, the terms publicity, public relations, brand building, those are the sort of the legs of the stool under advertising that sometimes give me hives. I wrote a blog post, you know, why things like branding and public relations give me hives as a direct marketer, because it's not always measurable. And I think there's still a place for advertising, but I do think that creating some measurability, I mean, look at, you know, you watch the Super Bowl on TV, you know, even these ads that they're paying millions of dollars for 30 seconds or a minute, many more now take you to a website, take you to a toll-free number. And that's actually putting a direct marketing spin on what I would call a general advertising ad. Look, a lot of brands, you know, if you're Budweiser or Nike, or, you know, they can afford to do general advertising because, you know, it's important to their brand and it's something that they build into their quote unquote advertising budget. Most of the people listening to this interview, I'm sure, are not, they don't have a Nike swoosh. You know, they just don't have that ability to be recognizable across the board. So they have to do a lot more blocking and tackling. And so, you know, marketing and direct marketing in particular is really the workhorse for any smaller entrepreneurial company that has a brand that's unknown. I think it's really important. Everybody has a brand, right? The point is, you know, you have to know how unknown or known your brand is, and you have to know how known or unknown your brand is to each particular audience. For example, if John Nestor, Hack the Entrepreneur, went out to do an interview with, I'll make it up. Now, people may know you. I know you do a lot with Entrepreneur, but let's say you want to do an interview with Forbes magazine. You're probably an unknown brand to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas to your audience and the people now that have bought your book and the list that you've created, you're a totally known brand. And you have to speak like that. And that's why you can do more of a broad-based advertising approach, content marketing, non-sales, when you're going out to an audience that knows who you are. Whereas if you're going out to an audience that doesn't know who you are, you got to tell a different story. And that was one of the things that I learned through working with the best copywriters of all time. I had unknown brands when I worked at my company Boardroom for 34 years. So I was going out to outside lists that, you know, people who subscribe to Money Magazine and Forbes and Consumer Reports and people who, you know, bought books from other publishers, they had no idea who my company was. And so the story had to be told, and that's where the marketing had to do the heavy lifting. And if I tried some sort of brand building general advertising approach, it would just completely be a waste of money and fall on its face.
Right.
I don't know if I specifically answered the question, but...
Yeah, well, sort of. So that's like, that's the difference, right? Is that we're not talking branding. Like when you're talking like lifetime value and 40-40-20, this isn't about creating some big overarching brand necessarily. This is literally about creating like a sales funnel or a new email sort of sequence to sell a specific thing, right? Like that's what direct marketing is it not?
You're right. But here's where I'll just add a little tweak to that. And that is, I'm not going to say there's no room for the word branding within direct marketing. So what I was really trying to say there is that even the stuff that gives me hives, branding, public relations, publicity, general advertising that doesn't have measurability, I do think there's a lot to learn from that stuff because you can incorporate it into measurable advertising where you're consistent with your brand that you're building and the congruency with the voice that you're selling that brand with. So I have learned a lot studying the greats of advertising, which a couple of them are profiled in my book, one of them being David Ogilvy, who wrote one of the great books of all time, Ogilvy on Advertising. He was a direct marketer trapped in a general advertiser's body. He knew that measurability was the key, but he had such a sense of brand building that he was able to bring that into the measurability as well, which to me is the holy grail, right? If you can do brand building successfully without throwing good money after bad, that to me is where you need to go. And by throwing good money after bad, it means that I'm going to still get a payout on my advertising.
Right. And I didn't mean to say that you were against branding. I'm just like you and I, Brian, are sitting here talking, but like our listener, she's sitting right here listening. And I'm trying not to overwhelm her with the fact
yes.
Branding to me overwhelms entrepreneurs and the solo entrepreneur because it's such an all-encompassing thing. And it's like, well, where do I start? Where do I start? So I don't start and I don't do it. And I wanted to give her something to sink her teeth into, which is direct marketing to me is something to sink your teeth into.
It totally is. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things, you know, mentioning my book a couple of times, but, you know, the fact that the book is called The Advertising Solution. And again, I was stuck with that title. I was brought into the project after Craig Simpson, my co-author, had done a lot of the heavy lifting, extracting from six legends of advertising all of their gems and their eternal truths, which are actually all applicable to direct marketing. They're fundamental truths, yet they grew up in a world like in a world of general advertising. Some of them are Mad Men, you know, the stuff we saw in the show Mad Men.
Love that.
Talking about advertising men in the 1960s. But the reason why I got sold on the book after hearing the title and cringing was that I realized that I could then edit the book and take these eternal truths of advertising, of some branding, some, you know, what we call showmanship, some things that were done in the 1930s and 1940s and all the way up through the 1980s pre-internet, and adapt them to what's happening today online. That, to me, is the beauty of linking the past with the present and then the future. And that's why I consented to do the book with Craig. I said, as long as I get to edit the book in a way that makes it a checklist for marketers today, despite some of the things sounding old-fashioned, profiling people who were born a really long time ago. In fact, one of the six legends, I mentioned one was Ogilvy, another is Claude Hopkins, who wrote a book called Scientific Advertising that was published, I think, in 1923. I think Claude Hopkins died in 1937. And, you know, here's a guy who wrote a book called Scientific Advertising when there was nothing scientific that was available to him. There were no computers. There weren't even spreadsheets. I mean, there was no Excel. There was no internet. And yet he understood the science of advertising, which to me is the precursor of direct marketing. And so, you know, that's why, you know, profiling a guy like Hopkins, profiling a guy like Ogilvy, another guy is John Caples, who wrote a book called Tested Advertising Methods. Again, the word advertising. And yet testing in direct marketing is about taking two pieces of copy or two different offers, testing them against each other to see which one wins. So you're not only getting a response, but you're getting a better response from one piece of copy or one offer over another. John Caples understood that. And John Caples, you know, lived between the years of 1900 and 1990. He died in 1990. You know, he understood that. You know, a fourth guy who we wrote about, Robert Collier, died in 1950. Wrote a book called the Robert Collier Letter Book. Between us guys, the book's a snooze. I mean, it's really hard to read. And yet, you know, Craig extracted the gems out of this book. And his book is a checklist on how to write a sales letter. And you know what? If you have a checklist on how to write a sales letter, you can also have a checklist on how to write a great email.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that book might be a snooze, but Scientific Advertising, the first one you mentioned, is one of the easiest books to read. That is like my Bible on all things.
Yeah, it's one of the most amazing. But in fact, one of the giveaways that I'm going to offer to your listeners today is I have a PDF in the bonus package for people who buy my book on the site that I set up. It's a version of Scientific Advertising, one of the best, most important books ever written, by Claude Hopkins, and it's an annotated and illustrated version. It's a PDF. People can download it. They can even print it. In fact, I have a binder-clipped version of it on my bookshelf. And I have the regular book on my bookshelf, but I also have this PDF. And it's one of the giveaways because I think it is. I'm with you. It's one of the most important book ever written to me was Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz. And Schwartz is another one of the legends that we profile in the book. But Breakthrough Advertising is a book that I own the rights to, PDF not available. But we made this PDF of Scientific Advertising available on this special resource page, in addition to a swipe file of the best ads and headlines and everything that the six legends that we profile wrote in their lives. And then there are also videos on this resource page of three of the legends, one of them that I didn't mention yet, Gary Halbert, one of the great copywriters of all time, Gene Schwartz, who I just mentioned, video of him. There are six videos of Gary Halbert on this page. And then there are six videos of David Ogilvy, one of which is him appearing on the David Letterman show, which is a riot.
That's awesome. So basically what I think like the book is going to be, you're getting to the essence of each of these foundational works, or as, I mean, we should say it on the show, I guess, is you're getting to kind of the hacks. You're pulling out the true lessons for it without people having to dissect the books themselves, which to me then makes it easily approachable and consumable for people who aren't necessarily experts right now, yet they build this massive, solid foundation to get started and to possibly learn at least enough to be like dangerous within their business and direct marketing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because each one of them, like Halbert didn't really write a book, but we extracted a ton of stuff from his Gary Halbert letters. But Schwartz wrote Breakthrough Advertising. Collier wrote the letter book. Hopkins wrote Scientific Advertising. Ogilvy wrote, among other books, Ogilvy wrote Ogilvy on Advertising and My Life in Advertising. And Caples wrote Tested Advertising Methods. And yes, we did extract the greatest hits from all of those books. And the interesting thing that I did when I edited the book for Craig is that I started making lists. There are checklists in the book on, you know, how to write a great ad, how to write a great headline, how to make sure these elements should all be in every one of your sales letters, how to, you know, create excitement and showmanship in what you do. So there was all this stuff that I think my goal when I was editing the book was, and I love the whole hack concept. There is a bit of that. And my concept was this book should sit on your desk as a marketer or copywriter next to your thesaurus and your dictionary. And so it's a checklist, various checklists, as you start looking at all of the marketing that you create and put out into the world.
Well, I'm sold on it. I can't wait to get a copy because it's definitely going to sit on my desk. Well,
yeah, your guys can get access to it. I mean, I don't know when this is going to go live. The book will be available live on October 11th. But if your guys can pre-order the book right now and get all of those resources I mentioned, the swipe file, the videos, and the scientific advertising, plus five other reports that Craig, my co-author, put together, Craig Simpson, on various other things that aren't in the book from those legends. And all they have to go is to go to thelegendsbook.com, www.thelegendsbook.com. And what they do is they go there. There's a button. They could buy the book anywhere they want, whether it's Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Indie Books. And it opens up a new window. You come back to the site. You send your receipt to an email address. And we do the rest. We give you access to that incredible resource page. And that's immediate. You can get that before the book comes out in the beginning of October.
I love it. I mean, I haven't had a chance to read the book yet, but I 100% fully endorse it. And I mean, the bonuses themselves are worth the $20 or whatever you're charging for the book. It's crazy.
I think the book's like $17 on Amazon.
Exactly.
If you're Amazon Prime, I think you can get it for about $17.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So let's wrap this up with like sort of one final. I'm going to put you on the spot if I can, Brian.
Sure.
But you've made everybody want to figure this out. And I know that it's a big, overwhelming, daunting task for a lot of people. It is for me too. And I mean, scientific advertising came into my life 10 years ago and I've been reading it like yearly ever since. So what's like, we love on the show to talk about like the whole 80-20 principle, right? Do that 20% to get 80% of the results. What is the 80-20 of direct marketing?
Oof. That's a great question. I mean, you're on the right track. I mean, you got to read some of the great books. I mean, if I was just starting out, though, I would probably go to something even more basic. The book that I taught a full semester of direct marketing in 1989 at my alma mater, Rutgers University in New Jersey. And the book that I used as my textbook was a book written by a guy by the name of Bob Stone called Successful Direct Marketing Methods. I think it's in the 7th or 8th edition. Obviously, the early editions were written pre-internet. But to get the basics of direct marketing, the 80-20, is that to understand that, you know, don't just jump in because you are in love with a product or you got a promotion that you want to get out into the world. You've got to like figure out, you know, the hack would be, what is my total plan for this business and what am I going to make available to, you know, my audience over time. And so, you know, the idea that, you know, there's one thing right at the beginning of Bob Stone's book that says no direct marketing business can exist without repeat business. And it sounds like a big duh, but, you know what the second or third product's going to be before you launch the first. So again, you know, a product is not a business. A product is a product. And, you know, so many entrepreneurs are also inventors. And they invent something that's really cool, that's really specialized and not commodity. They know they can make a big difference in the world with it. And they jump to the realization, you know, they jump to this realization, I'm going to go sell this. I mean, you see it on Shark Tank all the time, you know, that so many times that the sharks don't invest because they say you've got a product, you don't have a business. And so understanding that, you know, direct marketing is about having multiple products, having always surveying. And here's another 80-20 hack, you know, always be asking, you know, your audience questions about what they want. You know, don't deliver what you want them to have, deliver them what they need and what they tell you they need. And so tied into that is also list building. And so to me, I'm a kid in a candy store with all the tools that are available to us as it pertains to creating squeeze pages, list building. You know, truth be told, you know, people who go to thelegendsbook.com, you know, are going to opt in for amazing content and they're going to get more content from it. I'm not going to sit there and sell them a lot of stuff. At some point, I might sell them some educational materials that are consistent with my book and with the stuff that I teach. But the list building is the most important thing. Getting a list, getting a tribe. Remember I said list, that's why I made list 41% instead of 40. So I don't think there's a shortcut here, John, if that's what you were really asking, you know, that the 80-20, meaning like all you got to do is do these, you know, 20% of the things to get 80% of the results. I think they're there, but you got to do the work. And so I think, you know, reading the right books to start, making sure you understand core principles, don't fall in love with a product or a promotion, but think about a business. Again, one of the books I would actually recommend is a book written by my buddy Perry Marshall called 80-20 Sales and Marketing. And he talks about how the 80-20 rule, because I think the Pareto principle applies to everything.
It does.
In life, as we all know. So Perry did kind of narrow that down and kind of focused it in on marketing. So that's another book I would highly recommend since you brought up 80-20. I also think that, you know, one of the things the other book I would read, because it's a guy who wrote a book on 80-20 and then wrote a book about how you identify star companies, is a book called The Star Principle by Richard Koch, K-O-C-H. And I think he's right. He just wrote a new book called Simplify. And Richard's like one of the wealthiest men in the UK, and he only invests in what he calls star businesses. And star businesses have characteristics, and I think every entrepreneur should know those characteristics before they, you know, jump, you know, head first into the deep end because they think they have a great idea for a product and they want to go on Shark Tank.
I love it. I love it. And so, again, sorry for putting you on the spot, but
that was a good question. It's just that I don't have a,
you knocked
there's
it
not
the park,
an easy
Brian.
Button on that one.
You totally did it. I just wanted the place where they can start. I didn't want you to give them there is no trick. It's like you have to, it's like with everything. There's the hack is only to get you started, but you have to do the work. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, I love your approach though. The idea is like, where are the hacks? So therefore, you know, you don't, that's why I love what you do, John. I mean, I just think that it's sort of, it's a bit of an oxymoron, mm-hmm. You know, hacking, you know, hacked education, right? But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's come before. I wrote a blog post recently, and it was all about the biggest success of my career, which was when I went on TV with infomercials. And the premise of the blog post was following the anecdotal evidence. And I think that's very consistent with, you know, hacking. There's so much that's been invented, you know? You don't have to reinvent the wheel on everything. And, you know, you really get that. And I love that about you. And I think that there are both shortcuts, but there are also, you know, things that we all have to do the hard work.
Exactly. There's no easy way around it.
No easy way around that.
This has been brilliant, Brian, as always. I appreciate you so much for stopping by again. The book is The Advertising Solution: Influence Prospects, Multiply Sales, and Promote Your Brand. You can sign up right now, thelegendsbook.com. And I will link to that as well as, I believe I have like 12 books listed here. I'll link to all of those in the show notes. So when you are done working out, jogging, walking your dog, whatever it is you're doing right now, you can go to hacktheentrepreneur.com and Brian's episode will be there with links to everything. But make sure, if nothing else, stop by thelegendsbook.com buy this new book. I 100% fully endorse it. I know that it's going to
get you started. Appreciate that, John, very much. Also, you know, just a lot of your listeners did opt into my regular list as well, briankurtz.me. But on that site, briankurtz.me, there's a ton, not a ton, there's a lot of free content, interviews I've done. You know, you'll have access once you opt into my list. You could go to my blog page and, you know, do searches on all the blog posts I mentioned in the interview today. And all of that is free. If they go to thelegendsbook.com, there will be an opt-in to my list as well through that when they get all those free bonuses. So I highly recommend that people just, you know, whatever content could be useful to your audience. My second, I spent my first 35 years kind of building a business. My next 35 years is to help other people build theirs through what I learned. And so that's the mission I'm on. So it's all about education, direct marketing education. So I really want to share as much as I can with your tribe.
I love it. I love it. Brian Kurtz, briankurtz.me/blog will take you straight to the vlog. I will also link to that in the show notes for you. So once again, Brian, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you so much for sharing with the audience and good luck with the book.
Oh, thank you so much, John. And again, I'm honored to have gotten a second chance.
Brian, thank you so much. That was a lot of fun. And I, man, to get to sit down and talk to somebody who has sent over a billion messages, marketing messages, is the knowledge and the experience behind that is something that I know I will never achieve in my lifetime. So it's so cool that you took the time to stop by. So don't forget, the new book is The Legends at thelegendsbook.com. Absolutely, fully endorse it. As I said, I haven't had a chance to read it yet because I didn't even get a copy. But having Brian on my show, talking to so many other people over the past year and a half since he was on, and just getting to know the background about Brian, I absolutely fully trust and endorse it. It's probably the best $17 you'll spend on your business this year. And you can find it at thelegendsbook.com. briankurtz.me. is also just a great, fast resource of writing and marketing knowledge. So everything will be listed for you and explained on hacktheentrepreneur.com, Brian Kurtz's latest episode. And I'll also get the Amazon LTV article up there that I'm going to look for, and Ogilvy on advertising and scientific advertising, which we talked about, but you can get that at thelegendsbook.com as well. So this episode was different. Again, this is only the second time we've gone deep onto a subject. The last one was with Jay Baer, and we talked customer service and customer success. And the response I got from you was that you really enjoyed these. So it's a Friday, and we're putting these out. Email me, john@hacktheentrepreneur, or track me down on Twitter @JohnNaster, and just tell me what you think. Do you like the new format? Do you not like it? Do you have some subjects you would love me to cover and get an expert on to go deep with? And also, this missing the hack. I don't know. Should we pull out a hack? Or it doesn't feel like we should, but maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. It's been known to happen. All right. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the place. Make sure you stop by and get on that email list, and then go over and grab your book at thelegendsbook.com. Brian will help you and your business execute very, very well in your direct marketing. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for taking the time to stop by. You know that I truly appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.